Steve. It's a blessing to be here tonight and to be able to bring the lesson tonight. Tonight I would like to talk about temptation. We all are in this world, and we know that this world is full of darkness, and we are commanded to be lights in this world. And to be lights in this world, we have to overcome temptation. First of all, let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 15, says, if you look at the world, you see the world, most of the world, you see them go out and watch all kinds of movies and things like that, and the world has a rating for those type of movies. You have rated R, rated PG, rated G. If you think about that, the world actually rates how evil things are. And you have individuals out there who see those commercials every day and they lust to go see these things. They can't wait for these things to come out in the movie theaters. And we see in James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." How many times do you hear when the new latest movie comes out or something like that, people always raving and talking about, "Oh, I want to see this movie." Aren't those people, especially if the movie's rated R, aren't they lusting to go see something evil? It's not God's will to go watch something like that. It's people enticed and drawn away from their own lust. And we need to be careful not to do things like that. We see that this was a problem at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now God had commanded them not to touch this fruit in the middle of the garden, and he told them the consequences of it. You can relate it. He tells us plenty of things not to do in the New Testament, and he tells us the consequences of it. But like in James 1, it tells us that men, I guess, actually lust to do things. So we have to be careful not to do these things what God tells us not to do. But we see how the devil, he's very tricky. Continuing on in verse 4, it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to do to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." So we see that they fell into the temptation. The devil was tricky. He found a way to get them to do what God told them not to do. And we know that the devil is working out there every day trying to get us to do things that God tells us not to do. Now we know God loves all men. He sent his son for us. He wants all men to come to repentance. He wants all men to do his will. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 9. Says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We see how it's easy to see as you look out there, especially now these days. You turn on the TV, try to watch the news, and you can't even Can't even probably watch 30 minutes without seeing something evil in this world that's going on. But God lets it go on because he wants every man to come to repentance and to do his will. And we see the love he has for all men. James chapter 5, verse 7 is another example. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and later rain." So we see that God is patient. He doesn't want any man to fail and to go to hell at the end. But we see that this is going to be the case. Some people are going to fail. Some people are going to fall to the temptation, and we need to make sure that we're not one of them, and to study his word. In Matthew 7, we see that everybody will not make it. You have a lot of people that talk about universal salvation and that everybody's going to be saved, but we turn to Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." So we see that it's totally opposite from everyone that believes that there's universal salvation, that there is no hell, and that nobody's going to go to hell at the end. So we see the importance of keeping God's commandments and fighting temptation and continuing to run that race. In 1 Peter 5, 6, starting in verse 6. First Peter 5:6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Then he gives us some things we ought to do. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour." So we see Satan is walking about, seeing who he may devour. And he's tricky about that. We see in the example in Job how he came to God and asked him if he can tempt Job, and we see that he actually used Job's wife to try to convince Job to tempt the Lord, to curse the Lord. So we see how tricky the devil is. He actually uses people in our own family to tempt us. So we have to be aware of these things. It says he's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And that's actually a scary thing. But with God, all things are possible, and we are able to fight against the devil in his trickery. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man." Now, if we think about that, we have all these people who have lived before us, and it says there's no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now, that should be comforting words, because we're in this world every day, and we're tempted every day. And if we are tempted, we can always go to his words and see that he says he will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able to bear. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we see that even if we're tempted, there is going to always be a way for us to escape that temptation. One great example in God's word is Jesus. And we'll look at some of the things he did in a couple minutes, Lord willing. In 2 Peter 2:9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished." So we see that he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. We also see that there's nothing we'll face that hasn't tempted man before. We can see by the example in verse 7 above how Lot was tempted. It says, and just starting in verse 7, it says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, So Lot had all these people around him talking, and it's just like the world today. If you go out there, and you can't even go to work really without hearing individuals talk crazy. And Lot, that vexed Lot. So, but Lot was able to overcome this. So we see a great example in Jesus and how he fought temptation. Matthew 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry." Now imagine fasting 40 days and 40 nights. I know I would probably be real grumpy. And then let's see who comes along and tempts Jesus when he is in that situation. I think this was brought up before, but you can see how sly the devil is, how tricky he is. It says, "And when the tempter came to him," this is after 40 days and 40 nights, "he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." What's the first thing he tempted him with? To turn a stone into bread. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? It says, "But he answered and said," and take note of this, "it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, was Jesus' heart set on things on this earth or things on above? And we can see that Jesus' heart was set on things of above, on above. Continuing reading in verse 5 to see how Jesus fought these temptations. It says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." Now you see how tricky the devil is. He uses scripture also. He says, "For it is written, he shall give his angel charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And we see how well Jesus was rooted in the scripture, because he answered right back. Jesus said unto him, "It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So we see how Jesus overcame these temptations. He used God's word. He went right to God's word, and eventually the devil left him. He stood no chance. We can do the same thing. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, would he tell us that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil if it wasn't possible to stand up against him? If it wasn't possible to do what Jesus did? He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So we see that we do have a chance against the devil. God has given us his word. God has given us his son as a great example for us. In Matthew 26, starting in verse 65, we see the things that Jesus went through. I mean, it's pretty unimaginable for us to think of it, because it never happened to us, but the degree that Jesus was tempted and tried by these men is sort of really unthinkable. You think that he was in the garden, and think Peter cut off the guy's ear that came to get him, and Jesus healed him right in front of him. And it seems like from day to day, everybody kept forgetting the miracles and things that he did. Starting in verse 65, it says, "Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is it? Who is he that smote thee? Now we see how he was tempted to a degree where it's sort of unthinkable what me personally, what I would do in a situation like that. He was able to withstand those temptations, and he's a great example for us to look at today. He overcame, and he was sinless. And we see more examples when we look out in the world today. It's easy to see all these people who are rich and have all this money and are not right, or not living righteous, or even trying to live righteous, but yet they have all these things. And that's easy to fall into the temptation to look at these people and think, why don't I have all these things? But let's turn to Psalm 73. And as we read in the beginning, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we look at the Old Testament also to learn. And in Psalm 73, we get a good example of why these people have these things. And it's not truly good all the time. Starting in verse 1, it says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he's seeing all these people and all the things they had, and he was envious. He said he almost slipped. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. If you look at all these rich people, they really don't have that many problems. They think they have it all, but really, we get to see what the true problem is. Money can't buy everything. And we see that if we look at verses 17 through 20, it says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terror. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. So out of this, we get to see that just because they had all this money didn't mean they were living right in the sight of God. And we know the scripture that says it's easier for it. You know the scripture that talks about the rich man and how hard it is for them to go to heaven. So we shouldn't be envious when we see all these people with all this money. That shouldn't be a temptation for us. And God tells us their end in his word. In 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 15. Second Corinthians 1:8. Sorry about that. It says, for we would not, brethren, this is Paul going through his tribulations. It says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. So we see that he, trying to live and do what God told him to do, he also suffered persecution. He was tempted. And we see that he was an example for us. He ended up running the race set before him, doing what was right in God's sight. And we'll go back and see and look at 2 Timothy 4 in a couple minutes to see how he ran his race. But he was also tempted. Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passing to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So we see that Jesus, he was tempted just like us. He felt pain just like us, and he overcame, and he was without sin. And he was a great example for us to live by. In Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So we see it tells us that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. We have all these individuals in God's word for examples to show us, to build our faith, that suffered persecution and temptations and overcame. And it tells us to lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. And to do that, we have to be strong in God's word and to know what it is sin. And it tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He was truly a good example for us to follow. He was sinless and did everything that God wanted him to do. Now, some may say he's the Son of God. Who else ran that race? Who else made it? But we have Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting verse 6, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So we see that Paul also, he said he finished his course. He said he fought a good fight. And he said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." So we see the confidence that he had. He ran his race. He did his best. He did what God told him to do. And we have all these examples in God's word to give us confidence, to understand when we're tempted, and show us how to overcome these temptations. And it is possible to run that race set before us right in the sight of God.